Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Ghost Bed. To find your perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/ghost.
Today on a shocking episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, do spirits haunt this vintage 1916 home? When a woman initially falls in love with this classic home full of character and charm, what she doesn't bargain for is a new relationship with the supernatural. Day after day and night after night, she is tormented by the spirits of the home's past, unsure whether she will ever be welcome in the home she just bought. This story, and many more, today on a haunting episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and yes, 855-853-4802, our phone number. You can call in 24/7 and share your real ghost story with us. We'd love to hear it. If you want access to the archive of episodes going almost 10 years back now, and get all that at ghostpodcast.com. In addition to the archive, all of it commercial free, you get our brand new bonus episodes every week, and you get advanced episodes of the show as well, so you get to hear these episodes weeks before they get released everywhere else. And again, all of it's ad free, so if you love the show, you like binging and ads aren't your deal, really, who's are they, then check that out at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/real ghost stories. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Spending some time planning out a vacation I've got coming up in June. It's just going to be a quick weekend, but it's hopefully going to be a ghost hunting weekend.
Ooh.
And some of it's going to be in Door County in Wisconsin and Washington Island in Wisconsin, which I said I'd never go back to because of the dark energy there. But
yeah,
planning it and really, really, really looking forward to it, because I created an SLS camera, and I want to go out there and see this thing with the stick figures on the screen and all that kind of stuff.
So you created it? Like, you built it?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can go online and they'll tell you how to, you know, make these things. Well,
I had no idea.
Yeah, pretty cool, actually. I've used it a little bit around the house. And I don't know exactly how I feel about them quite yet, but I think it'll be interesting to get out there and use it on an investigation and see what happens.
So, what is the camera, the Xbox Eye thing, or is it
is?
Okay, yeah,
it is. It uses the Kinect. Yep. I think it's something Kinect.
Yep.
And then there's some software that goes along with it, and you know, you buy a tablet and all this kind of stuff, and it's pretty cool. I mean, you could go out and buy one that's made professionally, whatever. And sure. I think they're about $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
But for like, I think I did this whole thing for like $200.
Nice.
I'm really looking forward to using it.
Yeah, that'll be cool. That's always an interesting thing to see, especially when it is corresponding with what someone's feeling and all of that. Because there's many times you see those things on camera and you just can't. You can't, I don't know, there's no denying there was something going on in correlation to what someone was saying or feeling at the same time and then what's on those cameras.
Well, and for me, that's, and I know we've said this before, but like when you are going out and you are investigating, you want like two or three things at the exact same time, whether it's a personal experience, a K2 meter goes off, and then you see, I mean, you want to be able to back it up with just more than one piece of equipment at this point. So
what are your thoughts on those ghost box things? And because I am the most horrible person for any sort of terminology, and I've always been that way. Remember back in radio, I got this type of mic, and they're like naming off everything and the brand and the serial numbers. I'm like, I don't freaking know.
Right.
Talking to it, and that's it works. When it comes to some of these things, there's that ghost box thing where there's like a reverb to it, and
yeah,
it pulls out the certain words. And what I've seen online, I've been pretty impressed. I don't know how much editing's been done, but it looks neat.
It does look neat. And again, one of those things that like a handful of people around the country build, and they're really, really expensive.
Yeah.
But that's another piece of equipment that I got some background information on how it's built and stuff. I'm going to try one of those. So I'm really looking forward to that. Cause I, again, it's one of those things where I've seen it used on TV, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it has some ability to capture some evidence.
I know. I'm really curious about one of those. Is there like a name to them, or does everybody just have a different name that whoever builds it?
No, there's a name for it. I can't remember what the hell it's called. I'm just like,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. I always call it a harmonizer, but it's not a harmonizer.
But it kind of reminds me of it. Like, I wanted to hear one soon where it's going to sound like, who the hell, the intro to California Love with Tupac is also, who is the artist? Oh, California Love. Because he had the harmonizer thing.
We can't even think about that. We can't even come up with that.
Getting freaking old. Who does...
Oh my God.
Intro. Okay, here we go. Troutman. That's who it is.
Okay.
Roger Troutman. So there you go. That was, but I think that'd be cool if all EVPs, but the sounds out of the ghost box sounded like that. Wouldn't that be awesome if you're there and you hear like the intro to California Love and it just kind of fades away. Then it's like other songs from the 1970s.
Hip hop stuff from like the late 90s is what you're getting across on that.
Troutman was actually from the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Of R&B. He was the one he would sing into that harmonizer thing and it blew air into it. And then that's how he could change. I mean, he was the originator almost of auto-tune, if you will. Because it was
almost like a tube, right? They had it like talking to a tube, right?
Yes. Roger Troutman. And if people want to understand what the hell we're talking about, I'm just trying to find
Peter Frampton and his Peter Frampton Comes Alive album. He used a lot of that kind of stuff on.
Yeah. Zapp and Roger was the group that he was part of. Okay, so let's hear. Come on.
Real bad way, and I can make it best if you want. But I can make it better. Let me show
so
you.
His vocals are going through this tube into a synthesizer, and then he can change. It's auto tuning. It's auto tuning before there was auto tuning.
Yep.
So
yep. I think it's kind of in radio jingles they call it Sonovox.
Is that what it was?
Used to call it. Yeah. But yeah, very similar.
And it sounded so high tech back in the day. Now it's like the most aged sounding thing there is. It's funny.
I would love to listen to that stuff in opposed to anything that's out there today. That stuff just rocks.
I agree. Let's go to our first story. It says, I was living in Tucson, Arizona, and was thinking of selling my house and buying another. The house I was interested in was built in 1916 and was very unique and strange. Strange stairs that led nowhere and doors that didn't go anywhere. I felt that there was definitely a paranormal presence in the house and even put it in the offer that I was allowed to spend 3 nights in the house before finalizing the deal. After a month or so of inspecting the house, I decided against the purchase. I wound up bringing an entity home with me. It began with a voice next to my bed every night at 3 a.m., and it got worse. I had a friend staying in the guest room who was hit in the face at night. Everyone who came into the house felt something watching them. I was attacked in my bed and had to leave the house on more than one occasion. One of the times I'd run out of the house, the roof was shaking. Things being flung around in the garage, the whole house felt like it was alive. Jumped into my car with my dogs and drove off, locking the doors, leaving the doors unlocked and the lights on. I was driving away from the house, all the streetlights were turning off as I passed them. It also followed a friend of mine home one night after she gave me advice about how to make it go away. She woke up in the night to the feeling of someone stepping over her. She tried to sit up, but slammed her down and pinned her to the bed. In the midst of these horrible experiences, I also had an out-of-body experience. I was woken up by my friend calling me, asking me where I had gone. I told them I was asleep and had been for the past 2 hours. They said that I was just there on the street with them and told them I would give them a ride home and then left to get my car. I was never there. Whenever the man I was seeing slept over, he was harassed by the ghost. It would touch him, and he said it felt like electric shocks whenever it did. He'd wake up, to his arms being pulled straight up, and we would both suffer from terrible nightmares. My dogs and cats were too scared to go into a certain part of the house, and one day the cat clearly saw something because he looked up at the corner, shrieked, ran up the wall, and out of the house, never to return. There were many terrifying occurrences until I sold the house and moved to Europe. I can go into more detail if you're interested in that story. Well, sounds like quite the eventful home and an interesting thing. Put the little clause in there. I'm going to sleep here for 3 days to make sure that it's not haunted.
That's interesting. And that's a part of the United States that I feel probably has a lot of like Native American energy and stuff like that, too. And and you talk about haunted places in America. A lot of times you think about cities that have that, you know, been around a long time, the East Coast and stuff like that, Chicago, whatever.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm always very drawn to Arizona, New Mexico. That little corner of the United States always seems to have some really interesting stuff that goes on over there.
There's a ton of interesting stuff. And I've never really been down there. It's funny. I did a morning show there, but I've never been to Tucson.
I didn't know you did a morning show in Tucson.
Yeah, years ago it was on the it was on a stage station that played the song we just played, Zapp and Roger. It was 70s and 80s R&B and hip hop. And
wow, that was it fun?
Oh, it great. It was so much fun. Yeah, I mean it was just, you know, very music based, but it was fun. My girlfriend just went down to that area a couple weeks ago. She had gotten her master's and graduation was there, and she took all these photos of all these just like really old, you know, historic, creepy things. She knew I'd love that stuff. And there's even like something like one of the Manson. I'm trying to figure out what the connection is, because in one town, there's a connection to Charles Manson down there. And I don't know exactly what it is. I think his parents might live in one of these towns. I don't know. But there's all sorts of creepy stuff that's down there that would be really interesting to dig more into.
Yeah, I'd love to go. In fact, I've thought, you know, sometimes you dream about, if I could live anywhere, where would I go? Mm-hmm. That just seems like a place where I could really dig in and enjoy myself.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting. I think it'd be like a whole, almost like a whole new planet, because I've never like experienced that atmosphere other than like the domes in Milwaukee.
Right.
You know? Like right. A true desert atmosphere. So yeah, it'd be neat to see. And if you want to take a step back to 1965, look up the domes in Milwaukee. Are they still open?
They are. I know like a few years ago, a handful of years ago, they were thinking about shutting them down because they were falling apart and there just wasn't money to keep them going. But I think somehow they scraped up the money and they're still going strong.
Wow. It's these three dome structures that, each has their own ecosystem. One's like the desert, one's like tropical, and the other is, I don't know. I don't remember. I haven't been there since like sixth grade.
I went like a handful of years ago, maybe 10 years ago or something like that. So I think there's one that's like Wisconsin based kind of flowers
natural.
And stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It was always a neat place. And it was like field. It was like your yearly field trip to the domes was kind of what every child in Wisconsin had. Back in the day. But yeah, all right. Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today, Ghost Bed. It's made by Nature Sleep. I love these guys. We all know how important sleep is, or overall health. It is, if you were not aware of that, it is very important. Especially as you get older, you start to notice that more and more. Trust me. I'm so excited to tell you about our next sponsor. It's Ghost Bed. We love their products. Can't wait for you guys to try them out for yourself. I just can't say enough about it. We got a ghost bed pillow, and both truly some of the best night's sleep I've ever had using them. Ghost Bed was made by Nature Sleep. It's an industry leader in the mattress space since 2001. And every Ghost Bed product, from their mattresses to the sheets, the pillows, designed with cooling features. This is what I love. It's so perfect. If you sleep warm, I do. Most people do. You got this mattress they have dubbed the coolest bed in the world. Yeah, you got to check it out. Shipping is fast. It's free. You can try out a mattress for 101 nights, and you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years. You can't go wrong. Family-owned, 20-plus years. You get quality, comfort, affordable prices. Mattresses made right here in the USA. And they get that 101 night home sleep trial. Plus, you gotta check this out. All right. This is really good. Zero down, 0% APR financing. So you can get mattresses starting at $35 a month. Yes. To find your perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/ghost. Right now, Ghostbed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghost Bed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base, or 30% off site-wide. That's 30% off all mattresses plus two luxury pillows. Use promo code GHOST at ghostbed.com/ghost. Hurry, take advantage of these savings. That's ghostbed.com/ghost. And use promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. It says, hey guys, love your show. I have a few stories I'd love to share with you. I'll start with just one for now. Since listening to your podcast, I find myself having more discussions with others about the paranormal, which is one of my favorite topics. Not too long ago, I went along with my mom to visit my grandmother in a nursing home. My mom is very open-minded, and we sometimes go on for hours about the paranormal. I knew Grammy was very religious and somewhat close-minded about it, but decided on a whim to ask her if she'd had any experiences. She's still very clear-minded and not one to tell tales. I'll try to relate the story as accurately as possible from her perspective. Did you ever hear the story about my father's long journey in the snow? She'd asked me. I'd remembered it a bit, but not much, as it was probably told to me by great-grandpa himself years ago. Please refresh me, Granny, I responded. Okay, this is where we got to take a vote. Should I continue reading the story just as me reading the story, or should I add a lot of inflection and become an old woman with the grandmother parts?
I think you got to play the part.
Okay, we're going to do the parts. Here we go. All right. Well, she began. I didn't mean her to sound like, well, it's like, shit, it's RuPaul. You better work. Like, Grammy was an interesting woman. She began, it was all in the year 1912. And my father was about 10 at the time, living in a small cabin in the backwoods of Maine with his parents and five siblings. He told me how he remembered helping his mother take the clothes from the line, with the wind whipping through them in flurries, swirling, cool fall air. The china had never been used. They called it the ship of dreams, and it really... Okay, his mother seemed unwell to him, so he told her to go to the house and get warm, and he'd finish. Following behind her not too long after, he found her passed out on the floor with the little ones around her trying to wake her. She awoke and went to her bed immediately to nap, which was not like her. My father's dad was away for work, and the kids, all under the age of 10, were miles away from civilization. That night and into the next, everyone except for my father became ill. They were all coughing and feverish. My grandmother took my young father aside and told him that he had to go on an important journey. He had to walk to town, which was more than 15 miles away, to get a doctor. My father felt scared, but like he had to be the man, he told his family goodbye, dressed as warmly as possible, and headed out into the somewhat straight road to town. Only a few hours into his track, it began to snow. The snow turned into blizzard conditions. He could barely see a foot in front of him. He kept on slowly feeling the tips of his toes and fingers numbing. He wanted to cry, believing he wouldn't make it. But it was too cold to cry. Running on empty, he sat down on a log to try to find the strength to keep going. He really had no idea how long he'd been walking or how long he had left. And through the blur of the snowflakes, he saw something coming his way. He wasn't sure if he should feel relieved or scared by some stranger. Once the stranger got closer, he felt a warm, peaceful feeling come over him. The stranger said, "Hi, young man, have you seen a yellow dog by any chance?" "No," my father answered, a bit perplexed. "Where did this man come from? Maybe you could help me find him." The man said, and introduced himself as Adam.
Adam was, as my young father described, very handsome in his 20s, maybe, but he noticed the clothes he was wearing were a bit odd. At that time, he didn't recognize the clothes Adam wore until years later in life. He realized the clothes were of a pilot, with a hat with fur and flaps and bomber jacket. At that time, he thought how, quote, he must be being not warmly dressed. But Adam seemed fine. My father said Adam beamed with joy and walked with him until reaching the small town. They talked and laughed, and as soon as they saw the town, the dog appeared, seemingly out of nowhere. Adam was laughing with excitement, and my father realized what should have taken hours seemed more like minutes. He told Adam how wonderful it was that he found his dog, and Adam replied that he was likewise happy that my father would be safe. Then in an instant, my father says he disappeared. The snow was letting up, and he could see much further than before, but he was nowhere to be seen. Making his way to town and finally a doctor, he was given bed and slept for what seemed forever. Unfortunately, my father's mother and siblings all died of influenza because no one could get them out due to the blizzard for days. My grandmother ended the story there.
My great-grandfather survived, therefore I exist. He went on to have a happy life into his 90s. He married and had a boy and two girls. They named their son Adam. My uncle Adam became a pilot against his parents' will. He was extremely handsome and often wore the bomber attire in old photos I've seen. Uncle Adam died in 1941 at just 21 in a solo plane crash. I've always been drawn to his photos and feel like there was something very special about him. Was he an angel? Could the stranger Adam and Uncle Adam have been the same person? I may never know. I hope one day I'll meet him and he'll teach me how to fly. There you go.
Well, first of all, that is an Academy Award-winning performance by Katharine Hepburn, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I took on the persona of several people in that.
It certainly started off as Katharine Hepburn.
I don't know where it went. It almost was like Katharine Hepburn meets Julia Child. It's like, oh, I don't know where this is going.
Cool story. Wouldn't that be cool if Uncle Adam was the energy or the entity that came back and walked to town?
Well, came back. He came from the future.
Right.
Yeah. But
yeah, exactly. Wouldn't that be just wild?
That's what it seems like it is. Then you got to figure, okay, how does this all work? Is this a different dimension type thing? Is this like literally that's his energy and, you know, you can go back in time and help people out? I don't know.
I don't know. What a great story. Whether any of it is true or not, or if it was just one of those things that an old person comes up with to tell as, you know, like a tale.
Oh, my
great
God.
Story. And yeah, I love it.
I can't wait. It's going to be great if I have grandkids someday, because I'm going to tell them so much shit that's like not remotely true or real. And it's just going to like be legendary, and they're going to start like passing it down, and then it'll be great. I'm going to set up where I want to haunt. I'm going to be like, yeah, this, you know, those woods down there by this or that haunted as shit. Like, and I'll come up with all these elaborate, horrible stories of things. And then, you know, they'll start spreading around, and then I will pick those places and go and haunt them. So I'm going to set it up ahead of time. You got to plant the seed of it being horrible, and then you can make it horrible when you die.
I wonder if Harper ever thinks, oh God, if I have kids, that's going to be grandpa. You know, I wonder if she ever says that out loud.
Oh, I tell her these ideas quite often, and she's like, this is going to be awesome, Dad.
Great.
She's like, you're going to corrupt them. I'm going to corrupt them. They're going to be great.
Like five generations down the line, everybody's in insane asylum or something like that.
What happened? Oh.
It all started back in the 1980s.
From that family. Well, yeah, there you go. Let's go to another caller, 855-853-4802. Hi.
This is Chelsea from North Carolina calling. I wanted to tell you a story about my family and something we experienced at the Lizzie Borden House in Fall River, Massachusetts. For those of you who don't know what Lizzie Borden is, there's this like kind of really dark, creepy nursery rhyme that's like, Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. This is based on a true story, and you can actually go to the house where supposedly Lizzie Borden killed her stepmother and father. And my family, we like to make a tradition. It's like every 5 years or so, we go, like, we're from the Midwest, and we'll go to like the East Coast, and we'll go to like New York and Connecticut and Massachusetts, and we're just really into history and stuff. And my mom watched like something about Lizzie Borden, like, and she saw that you can visit the house, and she was like, we need to do this. And of course, all of my, I have four brothers and two sisters, and so there's three girls counting me, so there's seven of us. And on this particular trip, my oldest brother didn't go, so it was just my three brothers and then the three girls and my parents. And we went to the Lizzie Borden house, and you take a tour of the house with a guide, and they tell you all about it. And it's really, like, a lot more happened in the house besides Lizzie murdering two people. Like, apparently, Lizzie's aunt, like, killed her two children and then slit her throat on the property in the 20s. It was supposedly, like, a speakeasy or whatever. And, like, there's actual bullet holes in the wall in the basement. There's a lot of bad juju in this house. So as we're going through, we're on the tour, and I just start to feel absolutely sick to my stomach. Like, I feel so nauseous. I'm going to fall over. I just felt so uncomfortable, and I did not want to be there. So as we're walking through, I'm just like, I'm telling my mom, I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm going to pass out. And my mom was like, me felt the exact same thing. Like, she felt so much like dread, and just like, she felt so nauseous. And I'm like, we start talking to all of my siblings, and every single one of my siblings and my father, we're all just so sick on this tour, and we feel so disgusting. I'm like, we felt completely fine all day before going on this tour. And then, you know, like, we're just all like feeling disgusting, and like everyone else on the tour is completely fine. They're all, you know, just like laughing about the history of the house, and just like, they're perfectly fine. They don't seem like as sick as we are. And so as soon as the tour was done, we got out of the house. It was like a freaking spell. It was like the second we got out of the house, we were all perfectly fine. We didn't feel sick anymore. I don't know what it was. That moment in my life, like, made me believe that my siblings and I have all some kind of sensitivity, and it stems from my mother and my father. We've all had our own little, like, weird ghost stories. Particularly one of my brothers and I used to work at a haunted hotel, which I tried writing into you guys about that, but it's a pretty long story, and I just don't know the best way to send it in. And if you guys are okay with it being a particularly long story, let me know. I hope to hear this on the show, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thoughts on all that?
Well, Chelsea, I think has hit the nail on the head in that if you do any kind of research on the Lizzie Borden house, you find out that the story of the killings that went on there are gruesome enough, but then you hear some of the other stuff that happened in the family and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you just realize this is just not a good place.
Yeah.
And I think that she's right. Her family probably do have some sensitivities to a bunch of different things. And when you're in a location like that, where there's bad juju, bad energy, some people are going to pick up on that. It's quite possible that that's why some of the bad things happened there, was because that energy was there. It affected people who were living there, and nasty outcomes happened because of it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting about the Borden house is, you know, it goes pretty far back in history to the point where we find it socially acceptable to make it a bed and breakfast and like an attraction, you know?
But you know what? But we do that a lot with scary places. Like, it, you know, there's enough of us out there who would spend the night in a bed and breakfast that it makes it worth people buying and, you know, trying to do that kind of thing with it.
But I guess what is the cutoff? Like, what's the year cutoff where you can suddenly make a profit on it as a bed and breakfast or something fucked up? Like the BTK and breakfast or something. I don't think that would go over well in Wichita. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, serial killer, you know, fans and stuff, but I think the city would probably burn the place down if somebody, you know, were to do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think that, like, even if you took the Amityville Horror House and somebody bought that and did something with it.
Yeah.
I think whenever you've got a location that has a really strong story behind it and it's stuck around for years and years and years, I think it's probably open to that kind of thing.
I think Amityville, you can't. I was going to say nobody died there, because I was just thinking of the horror part of the story, but not the original part of the story. Obviously, right. Yes, a lot of people died there. So, I mean, I think that would be very, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just too soon on things like that. So, I mean, where are we looking? Like, 60s murders? Can you make a bed and breakfast out of that now? 70s, a little too soon still?
I think 70s would be okay. Again, I think if you've got something that has got a long history of stories, you know, I was up, you know, at the Ed Gein property last year. If there was a house there and it was a bed and breakfast, I'd probably stay a night or two there.
Was there one?
No, it's gone. Burned down.
Oh. There's just so many, I don't know. And there's around Wichita, you could do like all the fucking houses of all the people that he fucking murdered. You could be like a chain. A chain of BTK themed bed and breakfasts.
Now, is that different because it's based on a murderer who murdered a lot of different people, or?
I just think because it traumatized that city for so long. It wasn't just like an isolated incident where it's like, oh, this is like Amityville, you know, it was like, no, it just happened to that family, really. I mean,
right.
And then it was, you know, but this was something where like it traumatized that city for years. And anything where you have like the, like Dahmer, I could not see like they're doing like a Dahmer bed and breakfast or anything yet. Or I know there's Dahmer tours, but so what's the line? You can do the tour, but you can't quite do the B&B yet.
Yeah, there can't be like eggs over easy with bacon. Yeah. It just doesn't fit.
The whole theme of like the bed and breakfast. Oh my God, you could go horrible with that one. But oh my God. I don't know. It's interesting what we find socially acceptable when there's a year cut off and it's not really in our current memory. And somebody else is like, yeah, we can totally do that. Like one of them,
you're right.
Like the Titanic bounce house at carnivals. Like, this is a horrible tragedy. Like, and it's a fucking slide, and it's the ship going. And I'm like, and I the first time I saw that, I'm like, are they going to have like twin towers that kids are going to jump off of in 100 years and think it's fun? Because it's just, because it's the same kind of analogy. Thousands of people died in this thing. And then once it's far enough from memory, it's like, oh, it's a fucking bounce house.
I guess, you know what? I had never really thought about that, but you bring that up. And of course, 9/11 is something that I remember very, very, you know, distinctly. So I guess now that you mention it like that, it's like, you know, that is pretty damn sick.
I mean, it really kind of is. I mean, I guess there's a movie and all that, but it's like, it was a horrible fucking tragedy. And if we're going to do, I don't know. I think there's just a point where it becomes history to everyone, because it is. But there's that level of, I guess, impact that kind of goes away because they never felt it. You know, it's the way our grandparents felt, you know, looking at us and some of the things that we would complain about when it's like, yeah, we went through fucking World War II, you know,
right,
and the Depression and all this. And you're whining about that, you know, and we didn't understand a lot of that until a lot of that shit started happening to us, you know. But at the times, you just didn't know. But anyway.
Well, then I call dibs on Hindenburg. I think that could be a great bed and breakfast and theme park.
Hell, the humanity. That would be great. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.